Hey, folks, we're back finally.
Well,
good morning.
Hey, it's so good, but we've been running so hard that it's nice to have that sort of familiarity coming back into the game.
Well, I just listened to a telephone call, and there was this cool guy named Jerry White, and he was talking all the time.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the kind of format where I get to talk a lot.
That's Jerry White. You know him.
Yeah, that's kind of a rare deal.
Oh, well, that was interesting.
Now you know we're playing with the big dogs.
Yeah, I like that call. This is Tina. Hey, Jerry, did you get my message about Wednesday?
Wednesday, I'll be in the air.
You'll be in the air. Oh, that's right. Rats, I'm so sad that I'm not going to go. I can't go.
Well, we'll put like a little statue of you right there on top of the table while we're watching the thing.
Hey, listen, so we're off next Monday also. We won't have this call either.
No call.
Okay.
Yeah, I will be actually in the air then too, because I don't get to hop on the plane.
Just
so we're going to take next week off, which is a good point to bring up. And we'll bring up some other scheduling issues as we go along here. And welcome back to everybody. It's good to be back in touch with this call. But I also am really excited about this. I was waiting for the Larry Profit event to kind of get my feet back under what we're going to be doing. And the reason I was doing that was because it was a totally different way to start things, but it wasn't very different from what we were doing with the Pathfinder group before. This is based on the Pathfinder system, the Pathfinder calls, and now since we know that there was not a designated specific weekly call with the team group, we're going to be using both as leverage in the places where it's most appropriate, and which means that we're going to pop a clutch and get off the emergency brake on a lot of people who have been sort of taking an exemption here and kind of wondering where to go next. Well, where to go next is we got to build this thing. We got to build it pretty quickly. One of the exciting things I was mentioning on the last call was that truly, in a lot of years, we have not had a sense around these parts that if you don't get going, if you don't get off the dime and really get the building and organization, someone else is going to come in and get your people, and someone else is going to start it underneath you. It's funny because there's so little penetration across North America, it doesn't even show up on the radar screen as far as numbers of NECAN distributors in America. But what we know is locally there's been some really big stuff. So for the benefit of a lot of people who weren't able to be here the last couple weeks, we're going to be covering what was done, what was said, what were some of the things that were ahas, and a lot of organizational things as we go into the future, because we've got a job to do. And nothing better than to really have a purpose, a focus, and a general direction to head. But we got to get that all tightened down. So I want to welcome you all here and get right into the game, and then we will start getting people's opinions. So tonight, let me check to see. Jenny, are you with us?
I'm here.
I can always count on you. Complete or incomplete?
Incomplete.
And Arlene, who is also one of the most prolific being here on time.
I am here, Jerry, and I am incomplete.
Okay. Tina?
I'm here. What do you mean by incomplete?
Well, if you don't get that one yet, we better go over it, because obviously we haven't gone over it enough.
Now, are you talking about my goals and what I did this last week?
Oh, I'm talking about Tina Dioria.
Oh, wrong Tina.
Okay.
Tina
though, I mean, there's three Tinas now. There's Tina Boise, there's Tina California, and there's Tina Spokane. So, Tina Boise, we'll call on you in a minute. I'm very glad you're here, and I was hoping that you would be. But Tina Spokane. Complete or incomplete? You're on mute. You're still on mute. Either that or you fell in the hole.
Okay, yeah, I did. Well, I signed two people up. Does that make me complete?
Tina, you are awesome. Any product sales?
Yeah.
Any of those people on auto ship?
One's gonna get on it. Yeah, didn't yet, but off and then put the other ones on.
Well, that gets you the most amount of happy faces for signing people up. Awesome. Mike and Teresa, you are also on mute.
Hello.
There you are. You complete or incomplete?
Complete.
As usual. Now we're going to clean that whole system up some. And we have Charlene, are you on? And we know that Florida hasn't been with us for a couple weeks, so we're getting this down to a cozy little group. Who am I missing so far? Whoever else is on mute. So we've got this group that we're working with here, and as we move into the next little bit, there's a coming event that's going to be sort of a hallmark event. November 7th. And November 7th is going to be kind of a hybrid event. The Roger Drummer, if you all haven't had a chance to hear from Roger Drummer, he is the only American to have free reign in the Chinese medical system as the number one expert on mushrooms in North America. He was a... an herbalist for the stars down in Southern California, and then started studying mycology, the study of mushrooms. So he is the leading expert in America anyway, and probably in the non-Asian world on mushrooms and how they're put together. He also has got a phenomenal wit, and is going to be a tremendous guy to bring people to hear from. He talks like a surfer. He'll be a little easier to understand than Dr. Naidu was. Then also on that very day, which is November 7th, we are going to have the product launch. Now, the product launch is going to bring back from the national convention the new products and give a special dispensation, a special price point for those who are there. But to that end, for those who are listening in, I will also be putting up perhaps a webcast. I've got to find out if this crazy computer is going to work down there. And they will be allowing people to make orders of the new products at the convention, and the convention price will be better than any other prices ever will be. So if you're able to pick up our transmission about what the new products are and you want to make an order for that, then we'll have a little section on the side of the, right over here. If you all go to your chat section, and I got mine posted here, so I'll send you all a little note to all participants here, and it should pop up. And it's, sent to, all persons. I have to, I think that'll go to y'all. In honor of our upcoming event, here we go. So it shows up in that section. And once it shows up in that section, we can get, your indication with your phone number that you want to order. And if that's the case, then let her rip. But we'll be talking about what they are and how they work and all that kind of stuff. They'll give us a deadline time to make the order, and we'll make them for you if you want to save some money on that action. So that's going to come up on November 7th. We're going to rehash it. We'll have a little section there where you get to learn it. You'll have some breakaway sessions and be able to share back and forth. Now, I will not be at the November 7th event. So that leads to another piece that we're going to have to work on. I will be the keynote speaker over in Seattle at their November 7th event because we didn't realize we were doing all this on November 7th. And as a result, we're going to have a better event because I won't be there. And the reason is that we're going to have a lot of people step up and be the teachers in areas pretty quickly. And my whole deal lately is that I want people out there who are able to really participate, really make this thing work, and the best way to do it is to learn it. So that's all coming up on November 7th. The next team meeting with the Larry Profit Group will be November 7th as well. Now, we are going to be developing this into different teams, and I've got to look at how we're going to incorporate people like Tina and Boise and Russell and Michelle and Yakima and some of the outliers, which will probably be working together with our Saturday Sabbath people. We'll be splitting those up so that everybody works best together. All right, so let's go through a couple of people's ahas and things that you want to discuss from our event. Since we last got together, we had the Larry Profit event, and that is going to be coming together much more this week with the trifecta. It just about crippled me in terms of having any extra time to do anything, and that was with Larry Profit for 4 days, and then Dr. Naidu for 4 days. And now the convention for 4 days. It takes a pretty good chunk out of my week. By the time I get back, then we'll be able to really organize this group down tight and to give you some specifics. But tonight we will go over some of the issues that are most pressing for people, like developing your business plan and the kinds of materials that we'll be using for accountability and that sort of stuff. So let's start from the top of the page here. And Tina, I'm going to have Tina Bartlett from Boise give a perspective. Tina, was that a tiring event?
That weekend?
Right.
What was tiring was driving home. No, I was excited.
Very good. Well, we were loving to see you. And so now you see what we want the size of your group to be in Boise within, 6 months, okay?
Okay.
Piece of gravy, right?
Yeah, just gravy.
Well, you're a brand new person, so what were some of the key areas that you picked up from that event?
Moving my brain from just selling product to building a business.
And when you see a picture in your mind of what a business will look like when you've built it, what are some of the key things that jump out at you?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Okay, if you were going to build a business that was called a pet store, can you have a visual image of what that would look like?
Oh, yes.
If you had a business that was going to be teaching crossing guards how to take kids safely across the street, would you know what that business would look like?
Yes.
If you have a Nikan business that's really thriving, do you know what that looks like?
It looks like a weekly meeting with a lot of people.
Okay, that's a start. Because once you
roll out.
Okay, now you're cooking. If you can have a visual image, you can share that image with other people. But if you don't have an image, it's very difficult to do. So that visual image is important on where we are and where we're going to go. Anything else that jumped out at you when you were up there?
Oh, Dave Johnson's house was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be better in Boise if there was another house of that caliber, but your family owned it?
Yeah.
8-4 by Nikan.
I could handle that.
Very good. Okay, now, Jenny, what kind of things did you pick up from the Larry Profit event?
I picked up mostly, I think,
a bigger vision, you know, from Larry coming down and the insight that he offered, talking about how they've done this before and that kind of thing. I kind of just have the vision, had the vision of just the Spokane group and how to broaden my vision that this is quite a bit bigger than that.
That's a good point. So you picked up some of the things about his Japanese connection and overseas and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and how long he's been involved with the company, what he's done for the, with the company, and
Wouldn't it be strange, for a lot of people to go to their very first world convention and be there and figure out that in Nikan, the U.S. is maybe just maybe a third or a fourth of the overall numbers of people. And that you got people. What's cool about this? Anybody on the call ever been to a world convention? Steve, have you ever been to one? Here's what's kind of cool about the world convention. The opening ceremonies at the Nikan World Convention are very much like the Olympics, where everybody comes in costumes from their country. And one of them I remember really well was, I guess they wouldn't sign you up in Spain unless you already knew how to be a flamenco dancer, because they had the whole doggone bunch of distributors up there, and they were professional flamenco dancers. And then the wild, maniac Brazilians, they were absolutely nuts, banging on things and feathers coming out everywhere, and they were just crazy. When we had the one in Germany where it was it was this kind of amazing thing when it was the first world convention that the Israeli team came to. They'd only been started for about a year. And the emotions were so high as the Germans greeted the Israelis. And as the Israelis came up in the convention, there was like 40 of them, and the whole place just cheered for the longest time because it was very near one of the concentration camps, and there was a lot of healing that went on. Another thing that happened in the Nikan event there was that one of the Palestinians who was in the Israeli group stood up and said, if you all understand the compensation plan, they said it's very much more difficult to bomb somebody that you make 6% off of. And then when they put together the World Convention, they put you in different, like I sent Marcia over to Europe once, and from the time she put her luggage on the, up here at the airport, she never had to touch her luggage again, except once it got into her rooms in the various rooms. They took them to all the five-star hotels and put them on all of the, the tours that went through everything. And they took 4 days in Paris and London to prepare for the one-day conference in London. The next one went to was, party that they have is just a humdinger. But the party at the London convention was in the dinosaur room of the Natural History Museum.
Wow.
Dancing thing, and then the next time they had the World Convention, it was in Germany, and they had the party in a castle.
Wow. Cool.
So we can sit in our little box and have such a small vision of what Nikan can be. Very good, Jenny. Arlene, in just the Larry Prophet event,
Well, I was only there Friday night, Wednesday night, Jerry.
Wednesday night.
Yes, just the first.
Did you get a sense, though, that things were changing because of the crowd?
Well, I got a sense of anticipation and excitement, and I found him simple, but very profound in some of the things that he said.
Well, one of the things that we're really
exciting.
We're really trying to do in this is to empower each and every individual to believe that they can play a major part, or whatever part they choose to play. And so getting these people in from out of town that have done it in so many different ways can be pretty empowering, because oftentimes if all you see is just the way I do it, some people, and I don't know where they get this, they think that there it has to be sort of a medical or scientific component to Nikan. And we can think that's
me, Jerry?
We think that's our, you know, that's our universe here. That's all we really focused on for years. And yet, other parts of the country, when we bring Sean Catmull and some of those people up and Larry Proffitt, you're saying, how on earth? So it's a much, much broader universe than we ever could have imagined. And it's open to anybody. So hopefully we can get that point across that anyone that wants to, that's who this is designed to be a part of.
Will I have a minute to talk about Dr. Naidu?
Yes.
Okie doke, I'll hold.
We're going to come back to that. Okay, and then Tina, did you have any Larry Proffitt sort of, either the part I did on Sunday or the interview part that were, you know, things that we know in some cases there were, you know, some issues of trying to match up philosophies, but things that might have been forward things that you picked up, things that might have been growth issues.
See, there were a lot. I think it just got me more into ownership of the business and what I wanted to do. It's kind of like going through a threshold. And, of course, having David with me, it put a whole different perspective on it so that we're partnering, and I just want to go forward as fast as I can, really.
He was very, I think it's going to be a whole lot of advantage to you to have him buying in. And it was neat to see a lot of those lights go on Sunday. And what we did on Sunday, for those of you who were only on the Saturday event, was we threw in a few other pieces that should have been on Sunday or Saturday, but we were only just kind of getting a grasp of it. So Sunday I went back and got a chance to cover them, like the compensation plan. And that needs to be covered, I think, more often whenever we do something at all. And I see that Marcia might be in here. If you want to throw in your two bits on that, you're certainly welcome to, because she was a big help having gone to both of them. But in the meantime here, let's have Mike and Teresa give your two bits on the Larry Proffitt event. What were some of the things that you might have seen or grew from in that regard?
A couple things that really stood out for me is not only looking at my team and making and allowing people to be accountable, but really making myself be accountable and charting that, getting that those numbers in front of me, you know, what did I say I was going to do as a goal, how did I do, revisiting that. It puts it first and foremost in front of me every single day. That way, you know, the ability and the timing to talk to people is so right that if you have these other things in play, it just really falls into play every day. And then that just leads right into your goals and you know, creating a master plan so that I can design the business that I want.
Well, that is incredibly important. And if you listen to all the other diamonds and royal diamonds around the country, almost without exception, one of the most important things they'll tell you to do is to draw out your group every day. And then relate that group and how that group looks to what you're shooting for. So if you're going for platinum, how many people do you have that are in the right place to go platinum? And one of the common questions that we want to get used to doing is, who's your next silver? And I know on one call that one of the diamonds does is every time he talks to somebody, he says, who's your next silver? So how about that?
Well, we did right when we came home is that we did that. We've got a whiteboard that we have our team up on, and we've just gone through this whole scenario with each and every one of them personally and then as a group on, you know, where this, you can be the next silver, you can be the next gold. This is what, you know, what do you want to do? We'll help you to get there. And by doing that, we found a few people that really want to do this, and so that allows us to put our energies where they're wanted.
Now, at one time, your team had a very strong group identity.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that you, We know that you did it on purpose, and we know that also the group identity became a group of individuals and lost some of its power.
Right.
Well, how would you relate that to where you are right now, and would you say that you're seeing any other groups that are developing that group identity?
You know, in our group, I'm not seeing that because we learned how to do it a little more efficiently and differently from how we organized that particular group. What I am seeing, though, is that those people in that group, two of the major players, are really wanting to come around and take a hold of this as their business, not us necessarily leading them down the path, but to be their own CEO of their own company with us helping them. So that was a big meeting and a big turnaround for a couple of those people in that line.
That's one of the most crucial thresholds that you can go over is when your people finally take ownership. What do you think are some of the reasons that they finally saw it?
Number one of them was that Randy, of course, was at this training with us, and then with Bob and Kathy seeing Randy taking charge of this and really taking ownership, they started paying attention, and so it's kind of allowed them the ability and to just go, hey, if he can do this, I can do this too, and take that ownership and start getting their own plan for their own business.
I saw that very much in both groups, that they were really beginning to start to take that ownership, and it's a different look on their face. It looks like, I can do this, it's possible, and sometimes I think people can get a vision an idea that it's too big or too difficult or not for me or I'm not made that way, and they didn't. Do you have any ideas why they were able this time not to be overwhelmed by the concept?
It might be that they are really hungry to do something different. And it could be that perhaps I wasn't as good of a leader. Maybe I'm a little better now than I was then. But I think most importantly is that they want it for themselves, not me wanting it for them.
Well, another piece to remember for all of us is that the big events carry so much more credibility for helping to give someone a vision than any one of us could do by ourselves.
Right.
So if they get to the bigger events and they see that people that are really not very sophisticated, maybe have a good heart and a good work ethic, but they're not what one would say is, you know, got big letters from their college education, has climbed to the highest ranks, then that's motivational to them.
Right.
The other part is really just this sense that it's getting hot so fast that it's going to be difficult. If people, I'll guarantee if you live in the Coeur d'Alene area and you don't get after it pretty quickly, then somebody you know is going to get picked up by somebody else.
Exactly.
And that is a tremendous motivator.
Yeah.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
That's already happening?
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, good. Let's make sure they're all in our group.
That's right.
All right, so let's go back and revisit again. We had a second group that came through with Dr. Naidu. So, Jenny, what were some of the things that you got from that?
I thought it was really cool because personally I saw we've seen the off-season's presentation several times and it's awesome, but he kind of added another a different spin on it almost. It was just, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just really neat, and the people that I brought were very impressed, and I think it gave a lot of credibility to our company, having somebody like that up there speaking. One person in particular was my grandpa, and I had been given him material to read, and he wasn't well enough to go out to a preview. I asked him to come to this one, and he said okay, because he has been reading about Dr. Naidu, and he came, and he was just blown away. He just, and I think, I'm hoping that's what happened with a lot of people. Again, it just opens your vision to how big Nikan really is, to have such an educated professional like that and he chose our business to deliver his products.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story, too. I got a lot of chance to be with him. In fact, I went to Wenatchee for a couple of days with him and to just pick his brain and find out who he really was. His devotion to this company is absolutely amazing, the why he believes in it, and his devotion in general. Naidu doesn't need to make more money, but at the current rate, did you all know that if there is any kind of meat in America consumed by human beings, every time somebody buys that, he's making money?
How's that, Jerry?
Because once the E. coli scare came in beef back in the 1980s, lactoferrin's original use in a product called Activin is what is used as an all-natural spray to prevent that from being spread throughout the meat source.
Okay.
And as a result of how heinous that disease really is, and other things that go along with it, virtually he owns the patent on the only way to do it. He was telling a fascinating story about how they were able to take incredibly small amounts, like one billionth or one trillionth of an ounce of that, and be able to use an activator and coat an entire half of beef with like a billionth of an ounce of this stuff with, it's just an electrostatic activator process. The first time he did it, he happened to be touching the activator and told guys to go ahead and shoot the gun, so he got coated in it too. But very, very interesting guy. Arlene, your perspectives on Dr. Naidu?
I was fascinated. It's been a long time. I was very blessed, and I've gotten to be in India. And then you come back to the United States, and you have Pledge sprayed on your furniture and a very artificial framework to live in, and you fall back into thinking like a Westerner because that's who you associate with and that's where you are. And it was just such a refreshing to see such a broad intellect and but such a brilliant man, and he had a good way with words. I know the dialect is a little hard. It might serve him to speak perhaps a little slower would be the only criticism. For someone who was not used to the East Indian accent, it might have been a little hard, but it was well worth wading through the words to get to the essential core of what he was saying. He said that an entire universe is in each cell of our being. Things like we're designed to disintegrate. What an interesting thought. We're designed to disintegrate. He just had an interesting way of saying things that I found different than a scientist from this side of the world might explain. And
that's the type of people who come up with completely new concepts are those who see the world in an entirely different way.
And he's very broad in that, in the profession of naturopathy, I'd say 95% of what he said fit. And yet, Dr. Walker happened to be sitting at the table we were at, and I saw his head nodding, and Dr. Walker, of course, is an allopathic practitioner, and he was totally comfortable with Dr. Naidu's presentation. So, you know, I brought some guests, and they were enticed. They were interested. It underscored the scientific base of Niken and opportunity to expand the work that I've done for the last 20 years
globally, not locally, although that, of course, plays in, globally becomes very, very exciting.
That was an interesting discussion that Dr. Naidu and I had on the way to Wenatchee, was the idea of, we talked about your world is your world that you know about and the people around you. And all of us tend to sort of imagine that's what the world is. And if it affects us within that world, he said that a lot of these things that are happening on macro politics and that sort of thing, people look at that, believe they're an insignificant part in all of it. But what they really need to do is to look at who they are in the world that they live in the few people that they come across, and to step out and make a difference in that world. And then each are then taught to make a difference in their world, and so he could see the bigger picture.
Interesting.
Very good. Tina, what was some of the, did you pick up things from Dr. Naidu's discussions?
Tina Dioria?
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Some of the things kind of caught me off guard, but I followed it closely, and I just want to know more or hear more from him. And it was, I think he went back way far and kind of simplified it and came forward, and I thought that was good for some people. I did get some feedback about five people that were in this one particular group that I had invited. They wanted more answers, because one of them had been taking bisphosphonate and had her jaw start shooting out teeth, and so she wanted some more answers, but I told her about you, that you could give her some more answers in on some of our Thursday meetings. And
oh, goody.
So, yeah. So I think they're going to come, and she signed up. She's one of them that signed up. So we're going to go after that 70s plus, you know, that are starting to really see this bisphosphonate, the worst of what can happen. So
the fact that they're not even going to get funded for bisphosphonate soon, so they're going to have to come up with another strategy of some kind. That's one that a lot of people are maybe not yet appreciating. Mike and Teresa, you got an opportunity to see the other side of Dr. Naidu on the Silvers and Above evening.
Yeah,
Wasn't that a fascinating one?
I could have sat there and just listened to him for another 2 hours till he just couldn't talk anymore. But how refreshing to be with somebody that has accomplished and done as much as he has for humankind, really, and be able to have him break it down into scenarios that are simple enough for us to visually take a look at it, and then just to cap it off with him being able to put it in a movie setting was just phenomenal for me. It really shows me that, you know, I'm using a very tiny amount of my brain. I need to keep it in gear here a little bit.
I had that thought too, Teresa.
I think the key for us now is that if we are asked to be players at this level of life, we've had this opportunity, what an incredible blessing. Mm-hmm. And here we are with how big and how important is this gem that we have before us. And can we see ourselves being a part of the mass of the everyman, everybody together? I for one, am really tired of looking at the future within our country and watching things be degraded, watching things be demoralized, watching things be generally just spoken of as what happened in the past. It's, or, you know, stereotypes and mindsets, we're all a whole lot better for working towards something. And I really see this as this opportunity to, well, I think I've asked you all this before, but what was the greatest peacetime endeavor ever propagated by mankind?
Boy, what a tough question, Jerry White.
in terms of it created more goodwill, more national focus, more the precursor to every technology we use today. It was not demeaning. It wasn't calling one group deficient. It wasn't. It was all of America working toward one thing and one end, and that was the moon landing program.
Oh, interesting.
Nearly every, I heard somewhere that 90-some percent, 98% of all the technologies that were sold in medicine and exercise and electronics last year would not exist were it not for the space program in the 1960s and 70s. And it was a group of people who were unified toward the space race. All the rest of major advancements usually came from wars. The expansion west was another one that was almost as big as the space race. Possibilities where everybody has a chance to be something and everybody has a chance to scramble for the big prize. But you have to hold arms together to make it through. And those are some of the most nostalgic times we look back on. That's what we have in Niken, is a chance to redefine humans being more and a chance to redefine the healthcare system and a chance to redefine tomorrow. You can listen to all of the economic pundits who will tell you that our children are going to inherit a completely useless society and only debt, and that everything in the world is going to fall apart before they get it, and it was all our fault. Anybody ever hear any of that?
Way too much.
Yep.
Yeah, that's like, if you think about something long enough, you can make it happen, right?
Exactly. And yep. You can create any disease by just thinking about it long enough, too.
So what I think is, let's show them what old Yankee ingenuity can do, what humor and goodwill can do, what reaching out from one person to the next can do. And as we redefine those issues, there were pieces of what we did. There were people that had to stare down their weaknesses. Now, that's what I wanted to kind of get into here a little bit. And I know that there are some on the call who are not growing as fast in their Niken business as they would like. All in favor, say aye.
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 And
aye.
So if that's the case, What general category do you think is blocking most people?
Finding people that have the ability to invest and jump into it with both feet and really go for it.
You need.
I would say my own belief system. This is Arlene.
Uh-huh.
I would say my own belief system.
I think that's a very good point. Mike and Teresa, you guys have about 35 people in your organization, or maybe 40. Would you say that's about what you see across the board in your group, what the number one block is?
Yes, I would.
So what is the best way to change a belief system? Is it by sitting alone and playing your tapes in your head? What will happen if you do that?
You just underscore and reinforce where you're at in the present rather than where you can go in the future.
Exactly. So you just stay where you're at because that's your reality.
And I do have to say that if Dr. Naidu had been here a month earlier, I would have done my darndest to fundraise to get to Dallas, because there's it kind of like blew open some gates in my mind. Oh, the and Jerry, I don't mean this at all insultingly to you, because I hope you'll always be my mentor, but it was like I got used to you. I knew the role with you. Go out there and get it. You know, I knew what to expect from you. I didn't know what to expect from Dr. Naidu, and it gave me a really good kick to see how universal this product really is, how ecumenical this product really is.
Mm-hmm. And so, I love that.
Yeah, it's a. It was a very. And that's not even with Larry Prophet. Larry Prophet again was a Western thinker, and he has an enormous skill base and communication abilities that are phenomenal. But it was Dr. Naidu who came in as a scientist who was a global humanitarian that really gave me kind of a hit on the side of the head.
That is awesome, because what I find now is that with you believing more in you, and that your skill sets and your unique life experience, you're now kind of giving yourself permission
exactly.
to make the difference you know you can make.
I kind of made a social faux pas with him, and after listening to him at the luncheon, I spoke with him privately for a moment. There, Dave Johnson was around, there were other folks around, but I said, may I ask, were you Hindi raised? And he said, I ascribe to no set religion. I honor all religions, but I ascribe to none. And in his own way, he said, and he did not say this, but I felt like a pat on the head, you silly child. Don't you see the greater message here? I was trying to isolate and categorize and pigeonhole him into a particular style. He didn't want to go there. And rather than impugning me with that and saying, well, gosh, well, you know, that's kind of silly, you know, he empowered me by saying it's there for all of us. All we have to do is reach out and touch it.
It's a different platform, and he has a piece about him in his own belief systems, and not many people do. It's sometimes called old soul.
Yeah.
Well, with this issue of that, we keep coming back around to the same issue. That is, we all know that if the belief system grows, the more the crowd gets cranked up. The more you look around yourself and you see other people that believe the way you do, and they do it enthusiastically, and they fire up and they go after things. So as a coach, as a person who you're going to be becoming, one of the greatest advantages of this idea of team, and there are many, many things that we have to do to tighten this team concept down, with the commitment to have everybody go to an event on a regular basis. So the Wellness Preview, for example. Because how many of you felt that you've been to a Wellness Preview so there were so few people that there wasn't a lot of vision?
Right.
And there weren't a lot of really amazing stories about product experience and that sort of thing. But when you go to these larger previews, mm-hmm. people just get floored by it. And wouldn't it be, you know, if you had an opportunity to bring them to one of those bigger events again, it would be easier to get people there. So if we just get people to commit, the growth will be obvious. The more the growth occurs, the more people will start looking at it as with greater empowerment. And then the larger group you have that's more empowered, the more they overcome the stereotypes and the things that people are playing in their minds. And then they hang around it, and it's an upward spiral. It's an updraft of its own. It's not always easy to create. That's what Tina down in Boise is going to be working on, and Russell and Michelle and Yakima, and Roger's group that's going to be down there in Potholes in the Moses Lake area. Those teams, as they become, we're just trying to kind of spin the vortex to get that thing to roll. Because when it does, the growth is just going to be phenomenal, and that is what we've been waiting for a long time. The key here was Dave Johnson is now trying to beat me, and I will not have it. That is just not going to happen. So I want to throw that out to all of you that we are going to, and Bruce Erickson, he's not allowed to either. When you get the combination of our group, Dave Johnson's group, and Bruce Erickson's group trying to fight over a piece of meat, let's see who wins. So this week we want to get back on track. We want to try to start connecting back with each other. Let's start pulling this game together so that we can get people up over the hump. Volumes, we're going to start working on 5,000 for total group volume, 10,000 for total group volume, work your way up to 20. We're going to start talking about how the compensation works and how we work on getting these volumes and going to these ranks and going to these levels. We're going to start putting our time, effort, and energy into those discussions, because the more you discuss something, the more you talk about it, the more you make some comparison of notes, the more you're going to make it happen. You're going to start drawing your groups out. We're going to begin to start looking at total group volumes within teams. So this is going to get a whole lot more organized pretty darn quickly after the convention is over, and it'll be in conjunction with the team effort, because we've got to. If we're going to be putting 50,000 people in the hole, which is what my goal is to have 50,000 new people in our NECAN business within the next 4 years. We're going to have to be a whole lot tighter and more organized.
Yeah.
And that means that anybody on this call that wants to, who wants to take 10?
Oh, I'll take 10.
At least 10.
Anybody have a guess what, based on averages, if you had 10,000 people, what your check would be?
No.
But roughly 60,000 a month.
Whoa.
So, if you work toward that end and you fall short, is anybody okay with that? That's another one I wanted to leave you with, was the idea that if you're going to be shooting for, you're all working toward silver, right?
Yes.
Well, if we start working towards silver, but in the process, was it your Sue... Tina, it was Sue that had the tumor. Was that yours?
Yes.
Sue, if she gets on board, is gold at least.
Yeah.
Well, who else have you sponsored that you would think would be a silver leg or greater?
Corinne. Corinne's gonna be hot. Actually, Sue is not my front line. She's my sister Liz's front line.
Well, then I would make her that, and then Liz will have to get on her giddy-up, huh?
Well, she's not interested in giddy-up. She thinks Liz is on her own ball game, but she got Sue, so that's good.
That's worth it.
I want Lautanui is on my front line. I really want her. And
okay, now here's the key. Do you have any more that you think are going to go silver?
Well, this girl that I signed up today, she's not a girl, she's a lady, she's in her 70s. I'm just really telling her she can do this, just because she's in that strata of a lot of people that age. If she even just does it through auto ship. And I've asked her to, you know, put Thursdays down on her calendar and just start bringing people to Thursdays.
Can you imagine when you're a parent and you tell a teenager, you're going to really like this. She's a really nice girl. How well do you think your teenage boy's going to take you up on that? On the other hand, if he thinks, now that's a really nice girl, you're not going to be able to, his brain will get stuck. The key here is, if we ask them, do you want to be silver? And they say, yes, I want to be silver. Then we begin to start to put together a plan to help them get silver with around two other people that are trying to make it to silver. There's a very, very, very big difference. So as a group, what do you think a person needs to be exposed to so they could make a cogent decision on whether they want to be a silver or not?
Silvers and above. More people that are silvers. Or even golds.
So you think they just need to be around silvers and golds, and then that's one of the key things to make them kind of be able to make that decision? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, but also I've talked to her about, she does demonstrations at Costco, and I just tell her it's not going to, she could go far beyond her work.
Well, what we want to be able to do is to have her make that choice. What I'm saying to the whole group here is, in the next week, let's have you begin to start to prepare people to be able to answer that question, yes or no, for them right now. What would they need to know to be able to make that decision? Because once you have two or three people that say, I want to be silver,
mm-hmm.
that's a totally different thing than us trying to sort of trick them into getting it. Or
right, yeah.
We've got to come up with some ideas as a group. What do you want people exposed to so that they know that they really want to be silver, or even what that is?
Yeah.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know how we put this into play, but I think a key thing, like we've been talking about, is the police system. They have to believe that they can. So I don't know how that worked out, but some kind of way that we could show them, like in a meeting or something, I don't know, where it looks like, oh, I can do that kind of thing.
In the initial, when Dennis and Ruth Williams first got started, they were doing what we will be moving into, and that is a Thursday meeting. Well, what they were doing was a Thursday meeting and a Saturday morning training, and they did it every week. And in the Saturday morning training, they said, if you'd want to really get up and go and get the maximum earning potential, why not make 45% on your commission? Why not get 40% off on the stuff you buy for yourself? Get to the silver position. Here's how you do it. Find four seniors, and if each of them find four seniors, you're a silver. And they just showed how it worked on paper. So that kind of thing is what you're saying, is just show it to them, right?
Yeah. That's good.
And what we want them to incorporate into our training that is going to happen every week for brand new people is to, I like to think of it like this. People will come into NECAN for all kinds of different reasons. Some because they hurt, some because they want to change their family life, all kinds of different reasons. But when they buy that $35 distributorship, wouldn't it be kind of cool if you could give them an evening where they could come and find out what it could do if they wanted it to?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be surprised. Some of them will be absolutely amazed that it does anything at all. But they might get a much bigger vision. And that's what I'd like to design this around, is to be completely respectful of people, that they may be in a position in their life where they want to go, or they want to work at it, or they want to get this thing up and running, or they may not. But just to clearly define, these are some of the wonderful benefits that could occur if you were one of these.
Well, Jerry.
And this is how this works, and this is how you make an order for that. And so all these things are now not only just available to you, you own them because you have all the rights and privileges of a distributor at $35.
Yeah. Can we look at our Thursday night and say we're gonna do something, not that what isn't being done isn't fabulous, but do something like just what you were talking about, to just get really real with people and take them from that point and just make the whole evening that, along with, you know, presenting the all the products and just making it that, kind of gearing it to if people are beyond that, to show them how they can show their people that, but then take the people that are in that place and bring them forward in that and just really help them get a picture of what they're into now.
That's exactly what we're going to be guiding our training, weekly introductory training around. And what we're probably going to do with that weekly introductory training is to have a general introductory point, but then run four separate ones throughout the course of a month.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then they will be trained by not big dogs and big pins,
uh-huh.
but people who are actually doing it. So
yeah.
each one of you would be doing trainings, and we'd give you the topic, we'd give you the research material, and then you can knock it out of the park any way you want to do it.
Awesome. Really?
Because I think, for me, I'm in a place where I'm hopeful, but I really only have maybe one that's really going for it. And then Arlene, I think, is going to be really great, too. But she's Arlene beats to her own drum, and she's going to do it the way she needs to do it. But it's real for her. It's getting more and more real, right, Arlene?
You got it.
And I think you're going to be terrific just because you're you and that. But I have other people that I think if they see the vision of this and they walk through it, like you said, Jerry, that it's simple. You know, the whole thing is simple. And
walk through it and experience it and let them choose what they want from the candy store.
Yeah,
Arlene, you have one more comment, and then we're going to switch to Southern California.
Okay, I got a question, and I hope this is not poor form. I would like to ask someone for their phone number. Are we all comfortable with sharing our phone numbers if I do that online now?
You should be. And if you aren't, you better get over it.
Mark and Teresa, can I ask for your phone number?
Mike and Teresa? Okay. I'll give you Mike's first. 208-691-6728.
And yours, Teresa?
691-6729.
Thank you so very much. I will call you soon. I very much appreciate that. I got a special report.
For those of you who are headed down to the convention, I'm going to be putting out an email tonight, but that email is going to say, I don't know the lay of the building. I'm going to try to get a hold of, a little bit later on after our California call, the hotel in Texas. And on Friday night, there's going to be a wellness preview in Texas. That will be some of the biggest names in the NECAN doing the wellness preview. If you have anybody from the Dallas surrounding area, Dallas-Fort Worth, make sure they get to that. It's going to be a blow-your-head-off deal. We might as well be setting some seeds in Dallas and having some of those guys taken care of by the Dallas company and the people down in Austin. And before that, most of us are coming in a day early, either whether it'll be after the trainings, whether it's Advanced Leadership for Humans Being More training, and before that wellness preview, we're going to meet in the lobby of the hotel to make introductions so you can meet people like Carolina from Sacramento and some of the Russians from back in the Midwest and Tina down in Irvine area, Chuck and Tracy in San Diego, so you all can meet each other. And then I'm going to have a couple of icebreakers and things that you can do to really begin to be aware of the skill sets that we have and the ability that we have to move out and mobilize and get beyond these borders up here in the Northwest.
Awesome.
All right. Well, it's good to have you all, and we'll see you all down at the convention, those that are going. Otherwise, we'll get back with you in 2 weeks, and it'll look like a whole different ball game. Hopefully, we'll have more players setting this thing up, and I appreciate every one of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night. Thanks, Jerry.